So, yes, we're in this very exciting series. So if you're brand new, I'm going to rewind a bit so that you don't feel out, okay? So I'm going to rewind time. But now it's going to be a bit tiring because when we go back in time, then it can impact the body. So don't get scared because you're going to see lights flashing when we travel through time. But then I'll try and bring you back. We did this last Sunday, and unfortunately, you'll see that table's empty. I couldn't get everyone back when we time traveled. Do you remember, Shayla? Some people got stuck in because there's like a vortex, a time vortex. And I must apologize. The parents were very unhappy. But I said, there's so many other lovely people. And then they said, oh, that's okay. They didn't mind. At least it wasn't your parents saying that. You know what I mean? So I can't really do that. I'm still working on perfecting the time travel. But I can go back a little bit and like take you back to what this series is about. So to recap, we were presented with this idea that what can I do if someone, one of my friends, doesn't yet have a relationship with God? And this might be new to some of you too. But what do I do? What if someone wants to know about, hey, so why do you go to church? Like, why on Sunday? You could be sleeping. You could be chilling, hanging out. I hear you went to youth group Friday night. Why do you do that? You know, if someone asks you, what would you say? Maybe you would be like, well, my parents make me go. It's not really me. You know? Well, it's like, no, here's the story. So if you wanted to pass on what you know to someone else, there's the circle that you use. You begin by praying for someone. You pray with passion. Lord, would you touch that friend of mine? Things aren't going well in their life at the moment. Would you touch them? And you write their names down above there. Then at some point you start to say, I'm not just going to pray, but I'm going to pursue the person with love. That doesn't mean I'm going to get all creepy. You know what I mean? But I'm going to do loving things to show you the love of God. And then thirdly, we learned that at some point we need to bring some truth so people know what it's about. So it's about praying with passion, and anyone can do that, right? You just need to close your eyes and say, Lord, would you? You don't even have to. That's optional. You know, you can leave your eyes open and say, Lord, please touch my friend. Secondly, I'm going to pursue them with love. And thirdly, I'm going to persuade with truth. We learned last week how to actually start a conversation. Okay, so what do we actually do? Well, we learned a simple process of ask great questions. Jesus used more questions than answers even. Admire something about the person. You know, maybe their openness, the question that they asked you. And then finally admit that you yourself needed to be rescued. And we've spent quite a bit of time on that. And you'll see that again this morning. So today is all about, so how do I know the gospel? Now, I don't know if you're into the Star Wars stuff, because not everyone's into Star Wars, okay? And I know at that back table we've got an anti-Star Wars person. I'm not telling you which one of the three, but she's nodding at the moment, okay? So, and that's cool, because, you know, have you ever found something you really like someone else isn't into? That often happens. And aren't you glad that's the case? Imagine if we all liked the same artist and no one else could make money selling a record, CD. It's like only one. Imagine if we all were forced to listen to Drake. How awful would that be? Okay, maybe. See, some of you are like, hey, don't touch my Drake. Everyone likes different. Some are into Jay-Z. Some think Jacob Zuma is the best rap star. Different people like different artists, okay? I'm more like a Cyril Ramaphosa. He's a great rapper. Have you heard of him? Yeah. So in this movie, maybe you've got a favorite character. Maybe your favorite character is Jar Jar Binks. Misa, think you, sir, come see me in my house this week, okay? And he talks all weird and wonderful. Some of you might like Chewbacca. We're not sure, is he a dog? Is he a wolf? He's like a weird type of guy. All I know is he makes weird noises. In my home, some of us laugh because my dad makes Chewbacca noises often. So he's like, oh, Chewbacca, can you hear him in the bedroom there, you know? My favorite, and Christelle, look away because it's not hers, is the little green guy, you know? Because he's kind of like got this wisdom and stuff, and he always mixes up. He doesn't speak English like he's supposed to. He changes around the subject, the object, and the verb. But I want you, in his words, to turn to someone and say something like, 60 seconds I have to live. Share the gospel with me, you must. And that's how he speaks. I want you to try and ask someone next to you, so, I heard there's a thing called the gospel. What is it? Ask them to if they can tell you what the gospel is. Let's see if you can stump someone next to you. Go. Okay, so pause right there. That was just like a pre-test. The real test is still coming. And if you fail that test, then you have to stay here in youth for like the whole week with Mario. Oh! Oh! I thought that would be something you would all want. Yes, says somebody. You got one fan club. One person in a fan. That's not a big fan club. Two. Wow, I see that hand. Okay. So that's what this morning is actually all about. We've watched a video before that we're going to watch now by this guy. His name is Propaganda. Okay. Yes, some of you may have seen some of his rap stuff. Now, he's going to illustrate something known as life in six words. There's even a poster at the back. You're welcome to take a photo of that on your phone before you go. It's got the whole thing that's going down. Now, I'm not a poet well, I'm much better than him, but I just pretend I'm not such a funky hip-hop poet. I can't do what he's going to do now, but this is an illustration of sharing the gospel. Are you ready for this?
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes? God, the maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans. God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold. It's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond. Creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job. An odd list of complaints, as if the system ain't working. And used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny. Our, yes, our sins, it's nature inherited, black in the human heart. It was over before it started, deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it and how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like deep in a lion, homie. It'll need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer. An asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God. And the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe. But all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank. But you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated. And the only way to fix it is someone die in your place. And that someone gotta be perfect. Or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection, we all cheered because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone, I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is. That you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sin, paying everyone life.
I don't know if you saw what he did, but he kind of took each letter of the gospel and broke it down. God, our sins, pain, everyone, life. And it's a great way to remember it. So the next time Peter says to me, like, tell me what the gospel is, I say, like, whoa, look at that. We haven't even begun to learn the six words. You're in the top of the stack here, okay? So let's say the words together. God, our sins, pain, everyone, life. Okay, your turn. Once more, all together, slowly. God, our sins, pain, everyone, life. God, our sins, pain, everyone, life. Yes, Mdu, that's how you do it. So, on your table is a piece of paper. I want you to write out some lines, pretend you're in detention, and write it out. God, our sins, pain, everyone, life. You might want to put the word gospel down and then fill it across on the left, and you might add to that because those are going to be sentences eventually. You don't actually have to write it out 10 times. You're not being punished, but I find when I learn, I often write stuff out. Okay, so God, our sins, pain, everyone, life. Okay, so that's helping you remember it. Next challenge is to turn to the person next to you. Not done yet. Do you want another minute or two? Okay, another minute or two. So you're going to write it out. Probably find you'd write it out once or twice and then not look. Write it without looking. God, our sins, pain, everyone, life, spells out gospel, obviously. Because just now we're going downstairs. The church says we can come down, and then you're each going to say it for the adult congregation. But no, don't worry. It's only a 10 to 12. We've got 15 minutes to know the sentences, not just the words, and you'll learn the sentences next. Huh? Some people know them, but that's cool. And then you can go first. Okay, I'm kidding. But I think, should we do it? Yeah. Maybe not. A representative. One person. So, turn to the person next to you and ask them, what are the six words? And let them share with them without looking, and then you share it back with them. Turn the pages over. Ah, you got this. You got this. Okay, let's say it all together once. God, our sins, pain, everyone, love. Backwards. Life, everyone. Whoa, give yourselves a round of applause. Now, that's just a start, because when we go downstairs and stand on the stage, you're going to say six sentences, because it's not just words. And these sentences were in the video, okay? So, here's the first one. I'll say it, then you'll say it with me twice. God created us to be with Him. Again, God created us to be with Him. One more time. God created us to be with Him. Now, do it with your eyes shut. No, just kidding. That won't help. So, that's where it starts. That's the start of the gospel, that God made us, that God created us to be with Him, to be in a relationship with Him. What's the next word? That stands for our sins separate us from God. Our sins separate us from God. All together twice. Our sins separate us from God. Our sins separate us from God. Let's say the two together. God. One more time. God. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separated us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. All together. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. One more. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. So I can't do stuff to try and fix the problem. From God. Let's do God, our sins. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Okay, very good. You guys are pretty good. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Together? Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Two parts to it, eh? Again. Paying the price for our sin. No, stop. Mark, you made a mistake. It's not our sin, it's just sin. Okay? Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Let's do it together. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Let's put it all together. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. Altogether, everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. Everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. Let's go back to the beginning. Our sins, paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. Okay? Very good. Last sentence. Yo, you guys have got this, man. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. How long is forever? Forever. Good answer. Let's go back. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed. Paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. One who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts for eternity. Give yourselves a round of applause. So right where you are, I want you to say the six out loud to your partner and let them say them back to you. You can prompt them. Because everyone's going to make a mistake somewhere. Practice. But first, let's do it one more time together. Here we go. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Okay? One more time. God created us to be with Him. Our sin separates us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. I think that is awesome. So have a chance sharing it with each other. If you haven't done it already, I think most of you have, then you can write it out on a piece of paper. You've done it. Everyone got it written down? And it's up here. Okay. Now, as a table, I want you to share the six sentences together and out loud as a table. Let me remind you to often go back to the fact that it's G-O-S-P-E-L, because sometimes you forget the next sentence. But if you can go, if you just get that first word, like if I say pain.
Paying the price.
Can you see how if you get that first word, the rest will come? She immediately, because I gave her the word pain, to her mind came the price. Then it's just the price for sin. What did Jesus do? He died and rose again. And the goal isn't to say it like a parrot, you know. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separated from us from God, you know. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in Him alone is eternal life. Life of Jesus starts now, lasts forever. That's not the goal. The goal is to understand it. The goal is to breathe it out, that God created us to be with Him. But, and there I'm going to add my but, if you want, but our sins separated us from God. So I wanted to be with God because He made me, but my sins. And so what did I try and do? I tried to erase my sin. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Just when I felt like there's no hope, into the picture, da-da, comes Jesus and paying the price for our sin, for my sin, for yours, for sin. Jesus died and rose again. Oh, that's not the end. Because I can tap into that. Because everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. And I want to say something about life. That's quite an easy sentence because it's got the word life at the end. And let me tell you, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Okay, so the more you revise these, the more you come to see that they hang together. Now, I'm also going to give you a verse for each sentence. You're going to get this, and you'll get this on a handout. So, yes, but you can write, but you probably won't write the whole verse down. So let me throw out a verse that's, and I'm sure there could be a few verses, but here is a verse for each. Okay, listen up. These verses are deep. God created us to be with Him. Here's a key verse. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Found in Psalm 100, verse 3. Let's say that together. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Does that sound like a God who wants to be connected to us? He made us. Do you think I enjoy my kids as a dad? You won't know until you come and hang out with us. I mean, you want to spend time with them. Sometimes we're like, oh no, you're going out. No, just stay home. And we joke with them because we don't expect a 23-year-old and a 21-year-old and an we expect the 11-year-old to be home more than the others. But the others have lives, you know? So they don't have to be sitting around us the whole time. But we want them around because we love them. God made us. We are His, okay? Secondly, for the sins that separate us from God, here's a great verse. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's from Romans chapter 3, 23. It's like we've fallen short. There's the standard, but I don't. It's like I'm doing long jump, but I can't get there. And God says, no, jump to six meters. And we can only get halfway there. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's say that together, and that's from Romans 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. One more time. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. How many people have fallen short? Thank you so much. Perfect. Now, what about sins can't be removed? And it's from Isaiah, this one. Book in the Old Testament. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That's hectic, eh? And like, I was a bit confused at that. I remember the first time I read that in the Bible. But like, Jesus, you call me to do good to people. Let's say tomorrow I buy someone a meal or an outfit, or I'm generous to someone like a waiter. You know, when I tip, I don't tip 10%. I'd go like way past that. Like when we were out yesterday, 100 rand bill, I tip 50 rand. Because to me, he's worthy of that. You know what I mean? He's served us. He's gone out of his way. He's not getting a fat salary. I don't tip a CEO of a company because he's plundering the company probably or getting enough money. Do you think God looks down and says, away with that. Don't want that. No. When I'm trying to do stuff to earn my way to God, that's when it doesn't go well. And God says, even your best efforts to try and be right with me are like filthy rags. Get it? So it's, don't stop being nice to your sister or your brother now, just because, let's read it together. Okay, you boys, unless you're saying the verse together, you're not going to compete with me the whole time, are you? Okay, here we go. Say it together. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Let's say it one more time. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. What about for Jesus? But God demonstrated his love, or demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's say that one time a bit slower than I said it now. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's deep, eh? I mean, I wasn't even into God, and he came and died for me. I was his enemy. The Bible says that some people might die for a good person, but they won't easily die for a bad person. I'm not sure if there's a murderer. I remember once being asked to go into CMAX prison, Leeuwkop, to go and baptize someone, and he had murdered lots of people. Do you know how conflicted I was? And as I interrogated him, was the word I was going to use, as I said, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of your sin? And I could just see that this brother was a follower of Jesus now. But there was still this part of me of like, no, you don't deserve to be baptized and to become a, you know, a follower of Jesus. Until I remembered, when I was a sinner, Christ died for me. And now maybe in my life I've only murdered 5 people. I'm saying, just saying. Maybe I think that's okay. Or maybe I've never murdered someone. But I've said things in my with my thoughts. I've been born in sin. I'm rebellious. But yet Christ died for me, not when I was right and perfect and holy. And I baptized him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I know that that is what God, his grace, is able to do in someone's life. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, the hardest verse you're going to learn today, because you've never heard this one before. For everyone who trusts in him is, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Notice I shared, I put in 1 or 2 phrases there. Do you know how over the years our translations have become more and more easy to understand? You know that, hey? Most of you have studied the Bible. If you pick up a really old version, thou shalt believe upon the Lord and therein on the day therefore, I don't tend to spend a lot of time reading those, but I grew up with that. That's the modern version. Isn't it so much better and it's less complex? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John chapter 3 verse 16. If you watch American football, there's often a guy in the stands holding up a sign that just says John 3:16. Some guy. He's called the John 3:16 guy. That's all he holds up, that sign, throughout the American football, because he wants people to know. But I don't know how many people know John, the third John. John's got 16 points, or John is playing against 3:16 is the score. Like, people probably don't know. Lastly, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Here's a cool verse. I give them eternal life, says Jesus, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So let's say it together. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So Jesus says, you will never perish. In other words, this life will never end. Okay? So, here's a challenge for you in this coming week, okay? One of the things that we've been doing is that we've been praying together online in the evenings. We call it the prayer date at 8. We meet at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, so we're on tonight, on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And it gets pretty hectic sometimes. It gets pretty hectic sometimes because when people are like trying to do their homework at home, then at some point they might say like, I don't really have time to do this prayer thing. But we really encourage people that can, maybe one or two nights a week, to be involved in that online prayer. But we need your digits, otherwise you're not on. So most of you are on it probably. Anyone not on? Sushibi? You on? If you're not, then you need to give us your number before you go, and you can be part of the prayer day to date. And should we invite any other tables to be part of that, or is it just you guys? Just you. Sorry. Oh, okay. So any of you can be part of that. If you want to be, then give your number to Debbie before you go, or to me, and we'll add you on to that. So that's tonight and some other nights in the week. And then also pray. Pursue and persuade. Make sure that your friends have an opportunity. That's what happened one night. When I landed in a war zone, we flew in and was told as we landed that 3 days ago, a vehicle had hit a double landmine. And that landmine had blown right through the metal floor of the biffle, as it was known. And every single one of those 10 guys sitting in the back were incinerated and murdered and killed. That happened 3 days before I got into this war zone. That night, we were in a tent, and I had my guitar, and I was playing one or two Jesus songs, and I heard someone shout out, oh, we want to go to bed, quit it. And I didn't feel I was done. And some guys were interested. They were sitting on the edge of their beds, and we could hear bombs falling all around us in the distance, mortars. The G5s were firing into Angola, and it was just mayhem happening. And I said, I'm going to go outside, and if you want to follow and sing one or two more songs, if you're feeling nervous or afraid, because I am, I didn't want to die. I was only 18. You don't want to die when you're 18. And I said, come follow me. 14 people followed me out the tent, and we sat around under a tree outside, and this was about 9 o'clock at night. After a couple more songs, I felt called to like share the gospel, and I didn't know it perfectly like this. I had never been in a Sunday school or a youth group where we could memorize it. I just tried my best, and I stopped and I said, do any of you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Guess how many of the 14 put their hands up? All of them. Every single guy put their hands up. And I guess there was some fear, but death was real. That fact that death separates us from God, you know, that our sin separates us from God. And I didn't quite know what to do, so I knelt in front of each of them, led them to Jesus. 2 days later, one of the guys, tall guy, bright, sharp guy, found two pieces of a mortar that had been shot at us, but it hadn't exploded. And he picked them up, and he walked into the bunker, into the operations room where the radio guy was calling in an airstrike at that point. And he put the two pieces together. Him, two other guys that were in that circle two nights before, were blown away into glory. There was just fingers in the sandbags. It was like something you see in a zombie movie, but it was real. It was people. It was someone's dad. It was someone's brother. What happened? What do you think would have happened if, when they had asked that question, I'd said, you know what? Let's meet next week. And I'll go find out what the gospel is. Where would those guys be now? Now, I've never yet proclaimed and judgment on anyone where they're going to spend eternity. That's between a person and God. Sometimes I think like that. If they hadn't had a chance to receive Jesus, because there was no time when that mortar was, those two pieces were put together and the detonator was struck because the firing pin now engaged. There was no chance. I believe I'm going to see them in glory because that night, in my own broken way, I shared the gospel. And that's what we're calling you to do, to persuade your friends that there is a way to live their lives, to bring truth into their lives, to start spiritual conversations like we learned last week. I'm glad I did that. And there were other guys that were saved, I believe, because they had an encounter with Jesus. So revise this week, and we're going to hand these out. My lads are going to help me get some. Why don't you get some to each table there? And you'll be able to go through that. So if you get an opportunity, there was a funeral this week, hey? A memorial service at Greenside High, a grade 11 learner. Was it Palesa? Some of you are from the school. Some of you know of her and stuff. And she went into for an operation a month ago. And it just kept going bad. And she just slipped away last week. And I mean, who expects a grade 11 learner not to live the rest of her life? You just don't expect that, right? We can't guarantee life. May we know the gospel. May we receive the gospel. And next week, we're going to learn how to actually go about sharing it. Okay? So let's close in a word of prayer. Thanks, gents. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you created us to be in a relationship with you. And nothing you did caused us to be outside of your love and grace. But we sinned. Our sins separated us from you. And then, Lord, we thought maybe we could try. Maybe we could try be good enough, go to church enough. But Lord, like we saw in the video, that's like spraying cologne on a corpse. And it wasn't good enough because sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Some other way was needed, and then Jesus, God himself, stepped down off the throne, became a human being, walked this earth, paid for our sins. What I couldn't do, Jesus did. And so everyone who trusts in Jesus alone for salvation is saved. And this life starts now and lasts for all eternity. So Lord, if we haven't had that moment, we just pause in our hearts and we say, Lord, we apologize for being a sinner. We couldn't help it. We were born in sin. But we receive what Jesus has done on the cross for us. We receive his gift of eternal life. Thank you that we will spend eternity with you because we've received what Jesus did on the cross for us. Thank you for eternity that lasts forever. And it starts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to learn practically how to share the gospel. So if you're expecting to be preached at, you probably won't be in the right place. You're going to learn and workshop and try out. Alison will be sharing with us, one of our adult leaders, more from the first service, I think. So have a fantastic week.